Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The Bible tells us about God and His purposes. Not everything is crystal clear, though. There are mysteries we will not understand in this life. To help us comprehend God as best we can, stay tuned for a compelling series on the mysteries of God. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer begins a series on the mysteries of God, a God who had no beginning and no ending. Now, join us for the eternality of God.
The mysteries of God. I'm sure that you understand that I feel very inadequate to be able to preach these messages, but I do so because God has revealed Himself. And we should probe God to the extent that we can as human beings. Zophar, in the book of Job, asked this question, "Canst thou by searching find out God? Can you find out the limits of the Almighty?" And the answer, of course, is no, you can't. But I believe that God is honored if we try. What do we expect as a result of this series of messages? First of all, that we will be better worshipers, that we will be so overcome by God's greatness and beauty that we'll lay down the weapons of a rebel and we'll say, if that's who God is, I submit. Because there's no use giving Him opposition. He is God and I'm not. There's a second thing we hope to accomplish, and that is that we have greater faith. Have you ever noticed that God does not make it easy to believe? Did you notice, for example, and I'm sure you heard on the news, how a tornado came and a couple, a mother and father, protected their little 18-month-old girl, the little toddler, and shielded her. But the house fell on the parents. They died. The toddler lived. God can wipe out 8,000 people in Nepal or nearly 250,000 with a tsunami. It's not easy to believe in His goodness. We're going to have to probe those kinds of mysteries. And I can tell you in advance, it's not that I expect that I'm going to give you an answer that is entirely satisfying. But at least we have to grapple with those kinds of questions. So you see, what we want to do is to ultimately increase our faith. And I'll also share with you what to do when the mysteries become too great. Where do we flee? That'll be in a future message, I'm sure. Also, what we want to do is transform lives. We want more volunteers and more helpers at the Moody Church. My staff was a little concerned. They thought that this would be so philosophical, so theological, as if it wouldn't touch human life. I expect, as a result of this, a great surge of people involved in the ministry here. Some of those reasons will even become clear today. The passage of Scripture is the 90th Psalm, and you really do need to see it. Now, I know that you've brought your iPhones, and that's better than if you didn't. That is to say, if you use it to find Psalm 90. But you know, there is also a Bible in the seat in front of you, and it might be around page 496. That's what it is in my Bible. You have to see the text. Moses wrote this, which means that it is centuries older than the time of David. Normally we think, well, David wrote all the Psalms. Well, not all of them. Moses wrote this one. And furthermore, he wrote it at a time probably when Israel was condemned in the desert to wander for 40 years. It's a plaintive psalm. In it, he mourns a lot. In it, he is overcome by the futility of life. But it's also a psalm that gives hope. But the question is, what is life all about? Why should I live and not die? Some of you may be asking that question. You're going to find an answer today. Aren't you glad you came? Aren't you glad you're listening? So Moses writes it, and what I want to do, first of all, and I have to confess that the first 10 or 15 minutes of this message, we're going to jump into the deep end of the swimming pool. But I'm absolutely convinced that you can follow if you ask God to grant you the ability to concentrate, because I want you to be grasped by God. First fact is simply this, that God exists from all eternity. Your Bibles are open, Psalm 90. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or you ever formed the earth and the world. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. First fact about God is that God never had a beginning. God is indeed eternal. You know, sometimes atheists, they like to ask questions like this. I think Dawkins did. Who made God? They asked the Christians. And if you don't have an answer to that, I don't have to believe on him. Well, let's just take a deep breath, okay? Can we all agree that out of nothing, nothing comes? I mean, if there were just absolutely nothing in the world or in the whole universe, there wouldn't be a universe and there would be nothing, because out of nothing, nothing comes. Well, think about it. In light of the fact that something exists, that must mean that something has existed forever. Now, the atheists say, well, it's the cosmos, it's the universe, it existed forever. Carl Sagan, in his book Cosmos, begins it with the words, there has only been, the cosmos is all that there is and all that there ever will be. That's the opening line. But I mean, it's unscientific to say that, because the universe does not contain within itself an answer to its own existence. For example, scientists say that it's actually running down because of entropy, and therefore somebody wound it up. Somebody very intelligent and very powerful, at least, got it going. So to the answer to the question of God's eternality, we as Christians believe that God is the uncaused God who created all things. He is the uncaused God who caused everything that exists. And he always existed. He always existed. Now think about that. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Now let me give you this. If you begin with the premise that God exists, as he's revealed in the Bible, you finally have an explanation for all kinds of things. Reality as we know it. If you don't, I can assure you, and I don't have time to show it, but I can assure you, you will come to a dead end very quickly. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to think of the fact that God is uncaused. Here he is, this being that permeates the universe, and he didn't have a cause. What I want you to do this week is to take out an hour for God. Is that too much to ask? Why don't you unplug your computer, turn off the television set, give your iPad to somebody and ask them to hide it in a place where you can't find it, and then leave your iPhone in the car and take the kids and drop them off at grandma's and say, God, this hour is for you. And I'm going to spend the first 20 minutes contemplating the fact that you did not have a beginning. You and I owe that to God, at least. Can you get your mind around that? No beginning? From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Second fact I want you to notice is that God created all that is. He created all that is before the mountains were brought forth and you ever formed the earth and the world. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, speaking about Jesus, for by him were all things created, both which are on earth and which are in heaven, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or principalities or powers, all things created by him and for him. It's a crucial phrase, by him and for him. And to think that God did that out of nothing. Now, I told you that out of nothing, nothing can arise, but since God existed, he could take nothing and create something. In fact, when he spoke, he created so many billions of stars. They say that there are as many of those as sands on the seashores of the world. And he did it, the Latin is ex nihilo, that is to say, out of nothing. He just spoke, and suddenly they were all there in all their brilliance and beauty, and the sun and the moon. I mean, imagine God doing that. There is a story about a scientist who said to God, God, I can do the same things that you do. I can take a handful of dirt and I can create life. God said, really? Show me. So the guy reaches down and he takes a handful of dirt, and God says, get your own dirt. If you want to prove that you're as good as God, go into a laboratory and spend an afternoon taking nothing and creating something and see how it goes. You might need the next day. I'm smiling because there's no way for us to know. Now, that would take another 20 minutes of your hour. And then there's a third fact about God. Remember these points now. First of all, he is uncaused. He is eternal. He's always existed. Secondly, he created all things. And third, notice that he exists outside of time. Now, he comes into time, but he exists outside of time. How do we know that God exists outside of time? It is because time is the record of change. Time is the record of change. So what that means is that as long as God existed before creation, I am the Lord and I change not, there was no change, and therefore there was just an eternal now. You say, well, what was God doing before he created the worlds? I think it was the great theologian Calvin said he's preparing a hell for people who ask those kinds of questions. We have no idea what he was doing. We do know that he was in existence and making choices, but those choices were eternal, as we're going to notice. We're going to study the fact that he never learns anything because he knows it all. A joke comes to mind, but I'm going to just let that go. I was going to say he's like a teenage son. But the fact is that God is the one then who exists outside of time. Now let's think about this for a moment. You are able to remember the past. How are you doing remembering the future? Is that okay? Can you remember the future? Oh, you say, well, I can't remember the future because it hasn't happened. To God, the future has already happened. It's already a done deal. And we're going to have to study in this study at some point why it is that we pray when he already knows all things. But the point is to be made, namely, let's look at it this way. Okay, you have a map, and you know, you're following this map, and you're taking this trail, and you go from one town to another, and you're creating memories, right? And these memories are being created by you, and you will remember them. Well, think of God having the map spread in front of him in its entirety so that he sees all things simultaneously. What happened 4,000 years ago is just as present to him as what happened this morning, because all things are seen and known simultaneously. You say, well, where is that in the text? Well, I actually skipped the reading here, but that's implied here. Verse 4, for 1,000 years are in your sight as but yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. Peter says that with you, one day is like a 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. Why? Time is irrelevant to God. He sees it in one present. Now, he does step out of eternity into time, as we'll eventually learn, but the fact is that he sees it all simultaneously. For him, time does not exist because change does not exist. There's another story about a man who said to the Lord, "Lord, how long is a million years to you?" And God said, about a minute. He said, "God, how much is $1 million to you?" God said, about a penny. He said, "Lord, could I just have a penny?" And the Lord said, "Sure, just a minute." You'll notice that 1,000 years are like a day, and a day like 1,000 years. For God, time does not exist. Now you can use the next 20 minutes of your hour contemplating that. Now, I tried this last night, and I discovered it's very difficult to concentrate on these things because pretty soon you think the same thoughts again and again. So take these verses, read other psalms, because what I want you to do is to lie on the floor, if you still can, on your own power. Put a pillow under your stomach, face down, and I want you to spend an hour contemplating God, His greatness, His power, and who He is through the Word. And what you'll discover after that period of time is you'll say, "Wow, if that's who He is, here I am for whatever He wants." Now, last night, I was working on this. I also went outside because I wanted to see the stars. I am impressed with the immensity of God. As a boy running out in the fields, oftentimes at night, just seeing the stars there in Canada. And they seemed so close, as if you could just take one of them home with you. But last night, it was too cloudy to see the stars, but I have a good idea that they were actually there. Become impressed with who God is. Now you say, "Well, you said that this psalm was sort of a plaintive psalm and is supposed to discuss the meaning of life." And the answer is yes. Moses, in fact, seems to be in a rather discouraging mood, and so what he does in the next couple of verses is he contrasts us with God. And you should not be surprised at the fact that we come off rather badly, actually, in contrast to God. For example, he says in verse 3, "You return man to dust and say, 'Return, O children of man.'" There are several things that he says about us. First of all, he says that life is fleeting. We return to dust. He says in verse 5, "Our life is but a dream. You sweep them away as with a flood, and they are like a dream. Like the grass is renewed in the morning it flourishes, and by night it fades." And what you find is that later on he says, life is like a sigh. That's what it is. It's a vapor. And then he says, we fly away. I suppose that's the basis of the song, "I'll Fly Away, O Glory." I won't sing it for you. But it's all just here and there. It's gone. I mean, doesn't it say here somewhere that we have a number of different days, and if by reason of strength we actually have 80? I'm not seeing it right here, but I read it last night. I know that it's here in the text, where it speaks about the fact that, verse 10, "The years of our life are 70. Thank God that not everybody dies at 70. Or even by reason of strength, 80. And then sometimes you have people like my father who died at 106 and my mother at 103. So we were kind of thinking they were going to blow this idea that everybody dies. But they did. My sister-in-law died in Canada last week. She was 75. So maybe we'll live to 80, but then it's gone. So he talks about the fact that our life is fleeting, our life is sinful. This is verse 8. "You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence." Oh, you say, I've got all these secrets, and who of us has not sinned secretly? We all have. And to God, we're sinning in broad daylight. Our secret sins are set in the light of his countenance, in the light of his knowledge. And some people think that they're kind of hiding from God. Are you kidding me? Our life is sinful, and we need an answer to that sin, and thank God, God supplies it. So that's why it's so important to hear this message from beginning to end. And then he says, life is full of trouble. I'm now looking at verse 10. The years of our life are 70, and if by reason of strength 80, they are soon gone away, and there's toil and trouble. There is but toil and trouble, it says in verse 10. And isn't there? Moses is saying it's all futile. I mean, you live 80 years maybe a little bit beyond that. Most people live around that. Many people live less. And to what end? You know, you've got financial problems, you've got relational problems, you've got health issues. You try one thing and the door is closed, and you try another thing and you can't make any advances toward the place that you're going. And you just sort of say, what is the use of life anyway? Well, my friend, this is Pastor Luther, and that's quite a place to stop in a message, isn't it? You're certainly going to have to continue to listen to Running to Win to find out what the rest of the message has to say, because I can assure you it has applicability, that is to say, it impinges on our life directly. You know, this is actually the beginning of a series of messages entitled The Mysteries of God. It was Tozer who wrote a lot, and we still appreciate his writings even though he's gone to heaven, who at one time said that what you think about God is the most important thing about you. Well, I want you to know that I'm preaching this series of messages because to me, the knowledge of God and probing God's attributes and knowing God as far as he can be known is indeed the most important pursuit you and I can possibly undertake. I hope that you call a friend. Tell them that this series of messages is beginning, The Mysteries of God, and this first message, The Eternality of God, as we continue understanding Him. The Mysteries of God. I'm sure that you understand that I feel very inadequate to be able to preach these messages, but I do so because God has revealed Himself. And we should probe God to the extent that we can as human beings.
Erwin Lutzer takes on a really big challenge.
Zophar, in the book of Job, asked this question, "Canst thou by searching find out God? Can you find out the limits of the Almighty?" The answer, of course, is no, you can't. But I believe that God is honored if we try.
In our series on The Mysteries of God, we'll come to grips with issues including the eternality of God, the omniscience of God, and God's eternal decrees. And we'll find out why we should be concerned about mysteries like these.
So you see, what we want to do is to ultimately increase our faith. And I'll also share with you what to do when the mysteries become too great. Where do we flee? That'll be in a future message, I'm sure.
The Mysteries of God is a series of 8 talks by Dr. Lutzer, probing things we cannot fully comprehend but want to understand. This CD set can be yours as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support the outreach of Running to Win. Call right now at 1-888-218-9337. That's 1-888-218-9337. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Online, reach us at rtwoffer.com. That's rtwoffer.com. In Psalm 90, Moses wrote, "From everlasting to everlasting, you are God." He reminds us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Next time, more on the eternality of God, the first in a series on the mysteries of God. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is sponsored by the Moody Church.